BBC Essex with Steve Scruton. BBC Essex.
If you're working hard at home or relaxing, or you're working in a noisy factory, just set yourself free when the clock strikes three. Everything stops for tea.
Yes, it's a very good English custom. It's a stimulant for the brain. When you feel a little weary, a cup will make you cheery, and it's cheaper than champagne.
We have the best china out once again here at BBC Essex, serving tea at three for two guests today, who I think you're going to find rather interesting. Their business, well, they say it's their mission, actually, to investigate the strange, the unknown and the paranormal. The weird, the eerie. They represent Eerie Investigations. I'm very pleased to welcome Karen and Ian into the studio. Nice to see you both.
Thanks. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having us all.
I think we're all fascinated by this whole business of is there or isn't there something else there? Now, whether we believe it or we don't believe it, we're all interested. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think everyone's got a level of interest, whether they think of themselves as a believer, in quotes, or a sceptic. It's something that we're all interested in, to find out if there is more out there going on than we know about, for sure.
Am I right to think of you, Karen, as Ghostbusters?
We are a little bit more wide-ranging than that. A lot of our stories that do come in are connected with ghost stories, but we actually have lots of UFO stories, strange coincidences. And we have people telling us that they think they've experienced possibly an angel visitation, but it goes right across the board. So we check out anything that is paranormal.
Anything that's unusual?
Yes.
Paranormal. From the other side.
Well, from one side, or is it up, down, or we don't really know where it is, other dimensions.
How did you both become involved in this? Why the interest in the first place, Kat?
For me personally, ever since I was small, I've always had strange experiences going on around me, i.e. Of a ghost variety.
What, things you couldn't explain?
Things that I couldn't explain. Also within my family, they have had ghost experiences. But as I grew up, I started to have more what you would call psychic experiences. I would just tune into things, pick up on people's thoughts and feelings. And then it actually extended even further into UFO experiences. So it's kind of been around me.
Well, it is a lot more than ghosts then.
It is.
More than ghosts and ghoulies.
For me personally, it is, yes.
And what about yourself?
And similarly with myself, really. I think it's fair to say that I'd had less experiences earlier on in life than Karen, but I'd always had an interest in the unusual and in parapsychology. And in fact, my parents told me that the very first house I ever lived in had a reputation for being haunted and had a number of occupants, very few of whom stayed there for more than a few years because they found the house uncomfortable to live in.
Ian, I see you as being the sort of techie, because let me tell you, listening to the programme, Ian's brought in some gizmos and gadgets into the studio. They're not visual. Well, I mean, we're looking at them, but they're nothing special. They look like a couple of boxes, really. But they make a noise.
That's right. I do like my shiny toys, I'm afraid. I'm gadget man.
Yes. Now, just explain what these gadgets are.
Okay, these two particular ones are both used when we're actually in a place where someone's reported paranormal phenomena of the ghostly variety. The first one is a VLF and EMF detector, and the second one is a Gauss and EMF detector.
Now, hold on a minute. You're using initials here.
Terms, that's right.
Can you just explain EMF?
Sure. Now, EMF stands for electromotive force, or electromotive field energy. The best way to actually detect spirits and ghosts, because obviously they're something that are not generally visible, and really there are two ways you can try and detect them. One is through looking for heat sources, which you do with a thermal camera. The other one is actually looking for changes in the energy that they emit around them. Now, everything that's electrical, even our own bodies, which are electrically based, emit their own energy of some sorts. And with these meters, we can actually look for parts of a property which have spikes in their energy fields, but no real reason why they should. Now, When I say no real reason, a real reason would be, for example, a power line, a computer, a telephone.
I was going to say, they're going to be pretty hopeless in the studio, aren't they?
That's right, yeah. That's why we didn't switch them on. The receptionist said, are you picking anything up here? It's a very large transmitter. So what we do is when we go to a property, we walk around initially. We do what we call baseline readings, look for all the spikes in the energy fields in a house, map it out, note them down. And then later on, we'll go around and do the same thing and see if we can then find anything which appears later where it wasn't there earlier on.
It seems to me as though you're going to be more convinced, Ian, about there being something there if you can get the electronic evidence. And it seems to me, Karen, as though you're much more psychic on this. You get a feeling.
The empathic, yes. I suppose I'm on the empathic side and I pick things up through my senses. Ian is sort of looks at things obviously from a scientific point of view, but that's not to say that I don't as well. I don't take everybody on every story on board and say, oh yes, that is a ghost, oh yes, that person's seen a UFO. We really do try to sort the wheat from the chaff and look at a story and just say, well, was it a plane, was it a bird, was it the Twister? So we try to really find out what it is. We just don't take everything and say, yes, this was a ghost or a UFO.
I mean, much as we're both in quotes believers, we approach it very much from the scientific, almost from a skeptical background, because I think you have to. If you rush in, you know, and you're too keen to actually try and find a paranormal reason for everything, then you'll see things absolutely everywhere. So we try and rule out all the earthly sources first, and if we can't find a logical explanation, then the only remaining one is that it may be paranormal.
Because if we don't pick holes in it, then somebody else will.
Exactly.
So we have to go through something with a fine-tooth comb before we think, yes, there's something there with that one.
How long have you two been working together? Because it seems as though the chemistry's there. You know? The psychic and the technical, you know.
Well, we knew each other a long time before starting Eerie Investigations, but Eerie itself started about 5 years ago. And it's really picked up more and more in the last 3 or 4 years. We've added more members to the team and things have started to snowball from there.
No, I don't want to scare listeners this afternoon. And that's not the object of the exercise. We're just trying to find out more. But over the 5 years that you've been together, or maybe through your whole lives, we ought to look at things that you have found difficult to explain. Let's put it that way, where there has been no logical explanation for what's going on.
I mean, to start with an example?
Well, I can give an example which was quite strange, sad occasion, but it was actually when my mum died and she was in Newcastle and I was down here and Ian was out at work. And I used to work in the same place where Ian worked, but I had left about a month or so previous to that. And people were trying to get a hold of me to tell me, obviously, what had happened to my mum. I didn't know. And they couldn't get through on the phone. And they tried where I used to work. Anyway, people from work were trying to contact me and they could just hear my house phone ringing all the time. Mm. And then when Ian eventually came in that evening, he wasn't in the office at the time. He'd actually gone out on business. And when they actually got a hold of him, Ian had to actually ring into work and check, and they say, we've been trying to get a hold of Karen all day. Our family's been trying to catch her, but the phone's just ringing. So when we actually checked our telephone, the volume had actually been turned right down on the set. And so I couldn't hear any calls coming in, none at all. And it was really strange because that's never happened before. And then obviously we put it back and I phoned home and I got the news. But it was really strange because I just had a feeling as well that day that something wasn't right. But, you know, you just brush things aside. And obviously when I got the news and I realised, but I figured that, I know it sounds strange, but I think the phone had been turned down, the volume on it on purpose. So I wasn't there alone to get the news. You know, and it had to be when Ian got back that actually got the news about my mum.
But so it could have been.
It could have
when
been
when you were last dusting that you knocked
it. It could have been.
Yeah, that's right.
But the strange thing is, it had never happened before, and it's never
On that day.
It was just on that day, and I just think someone was saving me from being alone when the message came through. I know that sounds strange, but I just understood, and it wasn't until he came in that communications began again.
Now that's a very personal.
That is very personal
story,
yes.
That you can't explain.
I can't
to
explain
this day.
That one.
What about when you've been working together, you know, on investigations? I guess most of the time, Ian, there is a logical explanation and then there's an illogical explanation.
There is. I mean, particularly with the UFO cases, there tends to be a logical explanation. A lot of people see bright objects in the sky, they see them hovering there, and one of the most common ones that people misinterpret, for example, is Venus. You get the sunlight reflections from Venus and it manifests itself as a large glowing ball in the sky low down on the horizon. A lot of people misinterpret that. Things like meteors and satellite reflections when the sun bounces off satellite arms high up in the sky as well.
And aircraft movements must be very confusing.
Aircraft movements also, particularly some of the aircraft which go higher up, the transatlantic ones, they can appear to be very strange shapes. They can be a triangular and you can't always see the pattern of the wings from the ground. You just see the flashing lights. So people sometimes misinterpret those as well. With the ghostly side, there tends to less be a logical explanation. With things like objects being moved, electrical failures, there are often logical explanations for that. But with things where people actually see more visual evidence, it tends to be tricky to explain those away.
Let's break for a bit of music and then we'll do some more investigations on this programme. What have you chosen for us today?
It's the Medieval Babes. It's one of our favourite groups. Beautiful music. And it's a Cornish prayer, but we don't unfortunately know the translation of it, do we?
No, so if we have any Cornish listeners,
yes,
listening,
if there's any Cornish listeners,
maybe they can help out.
That's right, please do.
Babes, chosen by my Tea at Three guests. With me this afternoon, Karen Franson and Ian Pleasance from Eerie Investigations, giving us a few spooky tales this afternoon. Not just ghosts, though, UFOs, Ian, and I think you've got a UFO story, haven't you, for us? Or is it Karen who's got it?
I've actually got quite a graphic one. It happened in the 70s and actually happened to my brother and his wife. We lived in a place called Spittle Tongues, which was kind of pocketed with little moors around it, not far from St James's football ground. And he was standing at the bus stop. It was a winter's evening and it was him, his wife, and there was this other chap there. And it was a really clear night and they just happened to look up at the sky. And without, this is no word of a lie, and they said that they saw, for what want of better words, a fleet of UFOs just flying across the sky.
Not just one, but several.
Oh,
yeah, but could they not have just been several planes?
Oh, no, there wasn't several. There was thousands of them, absolutely thousands. And they seen them going across the sky. And they were standing with this chap, and this chap said, what the hell is that? And they were all just standing up, like, mesmerised. And he said they were all different shapes and sizes.
Did anybody else see this? I mean, investigations?
Well, that's what I thought. He actually said he rang the airport, you know, when they eventually got from to where they were going, and they said, no, there's nothing that we know about. And it just obviously went across the sky, and that was it. And nothing was reported on the news or anything. I think this was in about the mid-70s.
See, if something like that happened today, then local radio, we would have calls about something like
exactly.
that. And we would get, you know, more than one person reporting something. And this has happened, you know, several times on BBC Essex. And we've always come up, I think, with what could be a logical explanation, having spoken to departments and governments and airports and the like. So maybe then there just wasn't enough media around to sort of help with that.
I wouldn't have thought so back in the 70s.
I think that's partly true. I think people are more open to coming forward as well nowadays. Maybe in the 70s there was a little bit more reticence to come forward and talk about something like this because of the fear of how it would be portrayed and accepted by others.
And now you're going to give us a bit of a ghosty story, aren't
you? Yeah, we were talking earlier about ghost stories and getting hard evidence as well. And there were two interesting ones which come to mind, actually. The first was when we were actually called into a house in Walthamstow. A young family had moved in and had lots of paranormal phenomena going on there. Objects moving themselves, icy cold drafts in the middle of summer. And so we were there with a few others, members of the team. And as I mentioned, the first thing we do when we go to a property is go around and do baseline readings.
With your scientific instruments.
That's right, yeah. Myself and Rosie Nikita, one of our team, went around, did base readings. And whenever we got to a certain spot in one of the rooms, then the Gauss meter would go off, make this type of noise, which indicates some sort of electromagnetic burst. We went around the house, we checked for power lines. There were no telephone lines there that were active. There were no power lines that were switched on, because we'd actually had all the plugs and sockets and mains switched off. And we couldn't narrow it down to anything else. Just kept getting them in this one corner of the room, about 3 or 4 foot of area across. So about 20 minutes later, our medium, Alma Butler, was with us for that investigation. We called her upstairs and said, can you sense anything in this room? And she said, yeah, I can see the spirit of a man. So we said, whereabouts? She said, in that corner over there. And that was in the exact spot where the readings had spiked. She then went on to describe
him. That could have just been a lucky...
It could have been. I mean, there are four corners to a room, and she could have just picked one at random. But we know that she wouldn't do that, first of all. But evidentially, what was interesting was that she then went on to actually describe the spirit that she saw. And her next-door neighbour of the people who lived in the house currently were there, and they said, that's the guy who lived here previously, who actually died here. Now, we didn't know what he looked like. We didn't know his description, neither did Alma. And so that she went quite a way to backing up the readings that we'd found. The other interesting story was one that somebody reported to us when they were driving through Hertfordshire. The gentleman was a travelling salesman on the way to do one of his calls. And he was driving along a road by himself, and he suddenly saw a 1950s motorbike in front of him. As he watched it driving along, following it, it lost control, slid off into a hedge. As you would, he panicked, pulled over, ran up and down the road, ran into the hedge looking for the bike, ready to call the police. Couldn't find this bike anywhere, couldn't find any sign of a rider, no sign of a motorbike, no sign of oil, crashes or anything. After about 20 minutes, he gave up and went on to the place he was going to actually visit, which was a hotel he was doing a drop-off at. He told the hotel manager, and she said, yeah, we get that all the time. He said, really? He said, yeah, apparently in the Second World War, there was a dispatch rider was actually killed on that road. He was riding his motorbike along it, lost control, went into a hedge and broke his neck. And she said, at least 3 or 4 times a year, we get people coming in saying, can you call the police? There's been an accident on the road out there. So there you go, an interesting example of something which was witnessed by multiple people.
I think just to wrap this up, I have an open mind on such matters and an inquisitive mind. And I've been on a couple of ghost hunts myself.
Excellent.
With all of the gizmos and gadgets and cameras. And sadly, nothing has come. Well, say sadly, I mean, it just hasn't happened on both occasions. And I thought the atmosphere was absolutely perfect for a bit of ghost hunting, but it just didn't happen.
Mm.
So I'm still waiting to be convinced that something is
well,
there.
Well, if you'd like to come on another one with us, you're more than welcome. We'll see what we can find for you. I can't promise, but...
I think, as I said right at the start, we all find it fascinating. Now, whether we believe or we don't believe, we like to hear the evidence and make up our own minds. And hopefully that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
Listening to the
that's what we'd say to everyone, hear the evidence, but keep a sceptical view and an open mind to it all. And if anyone's got any stories, we'd love to hear them.
Your website is eerieinvestigations.com.
That's correct, yeah.
It's all one word. The three W's first, of course. And that information is with the helpline after the programme. Great to meet you both.
Thanks
for having us
on. And what great fun as well. Even though they've been scared witless, they're still smiling. Thanks very much for coming.
Thanks,
Karen Franson and Ian Pleasance.
BBC Essex. Travel News.